coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com, that's the place to go. HagmanReport.com, there you'll find articles of interest, show prep, and on top, a banner, a long banner on top of the content. That if you click on that, that'll take you to our show page. You can get audio, video, and as well as show links there. And so I would urge everyone to do that. HagmanStore.com for gourmet coffee, folks. Thank you so much for, we had a record month in January for coffee sales. People are drinking more coffee, staying awake longer, and being better interrogators of their teenage children, especially with Detective Choice, which is hyper-caffeinated. And again, HagmanStore.com for gourmet coffee. Proceeds, some of the proceeds go to help fight against child and human sex trafficking to groups such as Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer, the absolute best of the best, I'll tell you that. Again, HagmanReport.com, HagmanStore.com. It is Monday, the 15th day of February, 2021, America Held Hostage, day number 27. And, of course, we have around the Capitol, of course, and around the White House and Supreme Court, this massive amount of fencing, massive amount of barbed wire, razor wire, that is, I should say. And, of course, troops surrounding the nation's capital, making it an occupied green zone, if you will. Remember Baghdad. I've got actually the maps from the Gulf War showing the green zone that were sent to me by a listener who served over there. And it's kind of, it looks almost set up the same way. It's absolutely incredible for us to be seeing this. You know, if you win an election fairly, I would stipulate, or I would state, I would assert that you don't need all of this, armaments, all of these armaments on all of this stuff out there. What are they afraid of? And you know, people who use the term riot and insurrection interchangeably. You're a bunch of morons. As simple as that. There was no insurrection at the Capitol. None. Zero. Nada. Okay. You want to see an insurrection? You stick around. That's not a threat. That's an observation. I was listening to a 19 minute conversation between an individual who attended the rally at the Capitol on the 6th and the two FBI agents. If the FBI, I'm looking at you because I've worked with the FBI. I've worked with FBI agents. So is Randy Taylor. So is John Moore. Look, we've worked with you. All right. If you would spend as much time investigating the Communist Chinese Party infiltration in the United States, Harvard School of Medicine, if you would investigate Hunter Biden's laptop, if you would investigate, oh, remember the Awan brothers? How about the Awan brothers and Debbie Wasserman Schultz? If you would investigate more of that, well, then maybe there might be some respect for you. Yes, I'm talking to the rank and file agents as well as the higher ups. You know, it was at one point in time, if I had a couple of FBI agents show up at my door, I would invite them in for coffee. We'd have a nice conversation. Today, no. You're not, no. You have not earned the right to come to my door and to come into my house, I should say. You have the right to come to my door, but you're certainly not coming into my house. And I'm certainly not going to talk to you without a defense attorney, criminal defense attorney, sitting right next to me. You know why? Because we can't trust you. You know why we can't trust you? Because you lie. You lie. Think about it, Peter Strzok. You lie. You misrepresent what people say in 302s. You change 302s. You have no, you're a joke. And how does it feel at night to go home when people, and I really want to know this. How does it feel when you go home at night to think, my goodness, my employer, it's a joke. They're a joke. Christopher Wray. You should be ashamed of yourself. The impeachment, two peach mints, right? Two peaches in the mint. New flavor of Donald Trump ice cream, peach mint. Two scoops of peach mint. The attorneys for Donald Trump did a fantastic job. Although I'm not happy. I'm not happy about the fact that the defense did not bring in the goods with respect to the theft of the 2020 election. We know there was election fraud. We know that there was voter fraud and election fraud. We know that. I don't think that can be disputed by anyone with a brain. And I say that, if you're one of the people out there saying, well, you know, there's no evidence of election fraud. There's no talking to you then. You and I have nothing to talk about. And that's where this country is right now. I'm telling you right now, these sides, the two sides, the side of the righteous with the truth on our side, with America first, and which happens to be the side of Donald Trump, we have nothing to say to the communist left. Nothing. Discussion is over. There is no common ground anymore. Maybe 5 years ago there might have been. Maybe. But not today. And the media. What has the media done to destroy this country? From Brian Stelter to, I'd be here all day if I named every one of the people in the media. One of the best, I watched the impeachment hearings. I watched the fight on the floor. When I say fight, I'm talking about the verbal altercation. I watched the vote. I watched the whole thing. I tortured myself. Okay. I mean, it was grueling. It really was. But so I watched it because you don't have to. But the best of all, the best in my view, the best representation of the media's role in this particular event is this video clip. Now, this video clip, I hate to play things in their entirety because this is about 7 minutes long. So get your popcorn, get your Coke or whatever. Actually, get a cup of Detective's Choice. Sit down and watch this and listen to this very carefully. This is President Trump's defense lawyer, one of the two, giving an interview after the hearings were done. And I'd like you to pay really close. I'm not going to interrupt by saying anything during this clip, but I'd like you to pay specific attention to the question or questions and how the questions were asked, the loaded questions. And then, of course, the response by President Trump's attorney. Understanding, of course, President Trump's attorneys, plural, their law firms, their families, have all been under vicious and vile attacks by the left. You're not going to hear about this because you just won't. Some say, well, they're not whiners or they're not complainers. They knew, you know, look, that's true. But a lot of times you give life, you give air, you give oxygen to that leftist, whatever you want to call it, the vile, despicable behavior by the communist left. This is what the left does. They don't like you. They're going to bust your windows. They're going to paint graffiti on your house. They're going to threaten your wife. That's what they do. The right doesn't do that. No, the left does that. And an argument can be made. We saw this at the U.S. Capitol. Because when you dig down deep enough at the U.S. Capitol, that Capitol event began, the planning for that began in early November. And that can be proved. But let's take a look at Attorney Vanderveen being interviewed by, I believe this was CBS News. Fair use on this as well. But listen specifically to the reporter's questions. Listen to the answer. And then you can do a mic drop and a spike of the football after the video clip. Go ahead and play it.
Joining me now is former President Trump's attorney, Michael Van Der Veen. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Let's get right into those words that we heard from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He ended the trial with his passionate speech about President Trump's involvement in the insurrection. During it, he said that the former president is still liable for everything he did during his period in office. Are you expecting to face more charges against Mr. Trump in the near future, and do you anticipate being part of that defense?
No, that's just political rhetoric, and I was hopeful that something would come out of this, that the political rhetoric would stop.
Were you, though, surprised to hear those words coming from the leader of the Republican Party in the Senate?
I'm not surprised to hear a politician say anything at all. No.
Well, throughout the trial, you denied that Mr. Trump had a role in inciting the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. You argued, first of all, that there was no insurrection. But during your closing arguments, you seemingly admitted that there was, in fact, an insurrection, using that word, saying that that was not up for debate. What role did the former president play?
You didn't understand the case. I used the word.
I'll give you the opportunity to clarify, sir.
Sure. I used the word insurrection in my closing argument when quoting the charging documents. What happened at the Capitol on January 6th is absolutely horrific. But what happened at the Capitol during this trial was not too far away from that. The prosecutors in this case doctored evidence. They did not investigate this case, and when they had to come to the court of the Senate to put their case on, because they hadn't done any investigation, they doctored evidence. It was absolutely shocking, I think, when we discovered it and we were able to expose it and put it out. I think it turned a lot of senators. The American people should not be putting up with this. They need to look at who these House managers were, and look to see whether these are the folks they want representing them. It was shocking to me. Wouldn't have believed it.
Let's follow up with a point that you're making right now about the House managers, as you say, doctoring evidence. And the argument,
They didn't deny it.
To be clear for our viewers, what you're talking about now is a check mark. That's a verification on Twitter that did not exist on that particular tweet. A 2020 that should have actually read 2021. And the selective editing, you say, of the tapes. Is that how, is that the doctored evidence of what you're speaking?
That's not enough for you? That's not enough for you?
I'm not a juror in this trial. What I'm trying to be clear for our viewers is what you're referring to, because not everybody has been following.
It's not okay
to doctor a little bit of evidence respectfully. I have not said it is okay.
Ma'am, your question is
I want to be clear for our viewers.
Listen, what has to happen is
I want to be clear for our viewers about what exactly you're saying when you say doctored evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings, and as such, you're asking questions now that are already set up with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored, to be frank with you, and perhaps that will come out one day. But we won this case, and I'm not a sore loser, but what happened, or a sore winner, I should say, but what should happen is somebody should look at the conduct of these House managers. It's unconscionable, aside from all of the due process violations that my client had. And the media should be looking at a square, straight way. The straight way. When I watch the news, I watch one station, and it's raining. I watch another station at the same time, and it's sunny. Your coverage is so slanted, it's got to stop. You guys have to stop and start reporting more like PBS does rather than TV news show that doesn't have any journalistic integrity at all. What I'm telling you is that they doctored evidence. And I believe your question says, well, it's only a Twitter check and changing a year of a date here. They switched the date of a Twitter a year to try to connect it to this case. That's not a small thing, ma'am. The other thing they did is they put a check mark on something to make it look like it was a validated account when it wasn't. And when they were caught, they didn't say anything about it. They didn't even try to come up with an excuse about it. And that's not the way our prosecutors or our government officials should be conducting themselves. And the media shouldn't be letting them get away with it either. I'm tired of the biased media on both sides, left and right. What this country wants, what this country needs, is this country to come together, to take the left and the right and find a middle ground and start responsibly being our public officials, our elected officials. And one of the reasons why they do it is because of the media. Because the media wants to tell their narrative rather than just telling it like it is. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm not a media. I'm not in front of your cameras all the time. I've been subjected to this last week.
I understand. I understand. And I've given you the opportunity.
You don't want to hear the truth. Yeah.
Okay. I've given you the opportunity. I will remind you that what I said was that for our viewers who have not been following all of the hours of this trial, to be clear about what you are speaking about. And I understand
I'm speaking
that
about the House manager's
upset.
Failure to prove their case. That's what I'm telling
and
you. They weren't able to prove their
the
case.
Acquittal. You have won the acquittal of your client.
Yes,
and if you'd
I
like
did.
To continue to talk about this conversation, we can have that discussion.
I don't need
but,
to.
But for me to ask a question,
a slanted question that was set up
question.
To say it's okay for them to cheat. That was your question. Isn't it okay for
that.
Them to cheat?
I didn't
it's
say
just
that.
A little bit. You
no.
said, to be fair, it was
it's
only
fine.
A check
I
on the Twitter.
Not,
that's what you said. You got to live by your words. That's the problem. The media has to start living by the truth and not try to create a narrative.
Michael Van Der Veen, thank you for joining us. I do appreciate.
Yep.
Okay. I see you taking off your microphone now. That was President Trump's defense attorney.
And that was the ultimate mic drop. That was the ultimate mic drop. It was not a mic drop. It was a mic toss. And he's right. But see, here's the problem. The left and the right, the communists and the patriots will never come together. Never. I'm telling you right now, this country is so divided thanks to the biased, slanted, corporate, captured corporate mass media will never come together. I've got a great show. Randy Taylor's riding shotgun with me and, John Moore back after a couple of week absence because we've had stuff going on everywhere, and there's still stuff going on everywhere. But I'm going to thank him for his patience before I get to both. You know, we did buy a lot of the materials to fix the repairs from the costly water damage, and we used credit cards. And I'll tell you what, for the second time now, I used Lightstream to consolidate high interest rate credit cards so I can get a lower rate, and I'm not paying 19-20%. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it at all. Folks, you shouldn't either, and it's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at just 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. It's a lot lower than the national average or interest rate on credit cards, over 18% APR. Hey, check mine. I mean, my goodness. Go to these big box stores for lumber or whatever. Yeah, okay. As if you can afford that. All right. You can barely make the interest rate, payments on the cards. Well, I've got a solution for you. You want to get a loan from $5,000, anywhere between $5,000 and $100,000 with absolutely no fees? Go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Here's how to do it. Just for you, the listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. I'm going to spell it out for you completely. It's LIGHTSTREAM. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember that. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You'll be glad you did. All right, with me, taking care of all the business now. Setting up the show for today. John Moore, I'll tell you, 3 hours of radio and then 2 hours of radio, 5 hours of radio every Monday. What a trooper. He's a machine. TheLibertyMan.com, that's his website. Randy Taylor, of course, the Hagman Report. Gentlemen, come on in. Let's talk.
Doug.
Hey. What's
up? Hey, Doug.
What's up? So there you have it.
Later. There we are.
All right. I'm done. I'm done. So anyway, sorry about that. I keep knocking my mic over. So Randy, first of all, welcome back. I know you had some issues, and you've got the sympathy of our audience.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody out there for your prayers and kind emails.
All right. Randy's brother passed away at the young age of 51, and that's all I'm going to say about that, unless he wants to talk more about it. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com, you've been doing great, great work. I've been following you here the last couple of weeks, outstanding radio shows. Folks, go to TheLibertyMan.com, click on the link to his shows, listen to them, listen to them. A lot of sage advice, a lot of insight, and a lot of prep for tomorrow. John, what's on your radar, brother?
Getting back to local politics, I believe it was a politician up in Massachusetts. All politics is local, and we need to emphasize that, emphasizing personal preparedness for families to take care of themselves, and emphasizing local politics. We got more than 3,300 counties in the United States, Doug. Most of them have an elected sheriff. The few that don't, well, they don't. But the ones with elected sheriffs still retain their traditional and historical and statutory powers as a top law enforcement official that can tell the FBI to take a hike, that can tell the DEA or any of these other ATF to take a hike and get out of their county if they need to. That means electing a Constitution-believing, Constitution-supporting sheriff. In most of these counties, it's going to mean getting a Republican sheriff, the majority of them. Now, every county has as far as I know, a Republican Central Committee, which includes committee men and committee women. Now, many of these seats go unfilled simply because nobody bothered to file for office. It's an elected position. In my county, if nobody opposes you, you're not on the ballot. If somebody does, you are on the ballot. They're unpaid positions, Republican committee men, Republican committee women. That's the foundation of our system, Doug, is these county central committees, 3,300 of them. All the power comes from there first, at the county level, at the state level, and at the national level. That's where it all comes from first. And you can have individual men and women, just regular guys, regular gals, they can get elected to these positions or appointed as the case may be and have an impact at the county level and have an impact at the state level, which, of course, those things will eventually have an impact at the national level. So we're emphasizing that to encourage people to file for these offices, fill up these vacant seats all over the country, so that these Republican central committees can be the viable, powerful force that they can and should be to elect powerful, constitution-defending sheriffs in as many counties as possible. The New World Order, Doug and Randy, is very aware of the power of these sheriffs. That's why they've been diligent in attempting to get rid of them. They have, sometimes they'll have what they call another form of government at the county level, where they a committee appoints a sheriff, and that sheriff no longer has the traditional statutory powers of a of a sheriff. And that's a very sad thing. I've seen it happen in Missouri in about, I think, maybe three or four counties out of 113. Then they have an appointed chief of police who, of course, doesn't have the traditional statutory powers of a sheriff either. Putting that county at complete risk of whatever the federal government wants to do, quite frankly. Now, we had a county in Missouri that recently the county commissioners passed a motion to prohibit any federal officials from coming to that county and enforcing any law that would be against the Second Amendment of the Constitution. I expect to see many other counties doing the same thing, Doug. I don't know how many in Missouri will do it, but I'm sure some will. I'll be talking to our county commissioners about that very thing myself and see if they would consider doing such a thing. And the way to do that, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to do it in your county, is don't show up at a county commission meeting or the county judge meeting, whatever they call them in your area. You approach these men and women outside the meeting, one-on-one, and let them know what you would like to see happen, and just approach them privately, and then get a consensus. These county commissions are always uneven numbers. They're either going to be three or five or seven. In my county, it's three. So all you need is two out of three, or three out of five, whatever it might be. So you get a majority to get the motion passed to protect the Second Amendment in your county. Randy and Doug, the Second Amendment is one of the lines in the sand that is very important. That President Biden, I almost choked just saying those two words together, said when he was running that he would appoint Beto to the come after our guns. Now he's, in the last few days, he's also said that they're going to come after our firearms again. They do want the guns, but what they really want is to start a war. I know in my neighborhood, you talk at all about confiscation of firearms, you get the men in my neighborhood very angry, very quickly. And I think that's representative of most of the country, Doug and Randy. Don't you guys think so?
I would think so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a right that people are willing to die over.
It's a hot button issue. It definitely is. And that's, so I think the real goal is not only to take the guns, but to start a war. And that's a very quick way to do it. In the fall of 1994, following the passage of the assault weapons ban and the high capacity magazine ban, we had the largest turnover of Republican congressional seats becoming Republican seats. Did I say the right? Democratic seats becoming Republican seats ever that fall of 1994, the midterm elections. That was all orchestrated by Newt Gingrich, by the way, behind the scenes. He knew what would happen if they passed the assault weapons ban and high-capacity magazine ban. He knew what would happen. He's very astute politically, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House.
So, frankly, I don't have any use for any of these morons. Very, very few. Okay. I really don't. Okay. Like Vanderveen, you know, you're a politician, you lie. All right. Now, look, I get it. There are some out there. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm a fan of. She speaks the truth. And some other ones that have not yet been corrupted, apparently. But, you know what? You said it, though. The quickest way to start a war is to go after the firearms. They're coming after the guns, but it's more than that. They're coming after us. If you think, you know, if anyone thinks that someone's going to politely knock on your door and say, hey, I was reading the, you know, the 4473, I was reading this document here. You have a, let's see, an AR and, an AK. You need to turn them in. We're here to collect them. If you think that's going to happen that way, you're out of your mind. Okay, it's going to be little Wacos all over the United States, and they're going to show it 24/7 on TV saying, look at the bad people with guns shooting at police officers. That's how it's going to start, or that's how it's going to go, in my view anyway. But you know what? I'm not getting any younger, all right? If you want to fight, I'll rise to the fight. I'm not going to start it, but I'm going to defend myself. And I'm going to defend my right to own a firearm. And no one on this earth is going to tell me that that's a wrong thing to do. we'd like to nip it in the bud, of course, before it gets to that point. But I, you know what, John, I don't think we're going to be able to nip it in the bud this time. I really don't. That's just my view.
Unless something changes, we will not be able to nip it in the bud. All three of us are hearing what President Trump may be doing, and it's mostly conjecture because he's operating in private, as he needs to be, for whatever he has planned. The only thing I see that can turn this around without having civil war would be the military taking action. Our military has a historical record of not getting involved in domestic politics. That's, you know, something they simply don't do.
Wait a second. Not getting involved. Lloyd Austin, that 6'8", I'm not even sure what is the Nephilim. Anyway, standing down our military for 60 days to root out any kind of domestic extremist. What in the hell is going on with our military? I mean, seriously, they're taking out all the patriots and our military is not going to come after us. You damn well bet our military is going to come after us because they're going to fashion our military to come after us. And people, wake up, people. I mean, you know what? John, there are no rules anymore. I'm telling you, John, I am passionate about this because rules went out the friggin' window on November 3rd at midnight. Every single friggin' rule, every single bit of the Constitution went, and everyone who is saying, well, you know, we gotta be nice and we gotta rise and we gotta take the high road. Bull crap. I'm done taking the high road. You wanna fight? Let's fight. But it's going to be a cage fight. It's going to be a street fight. And I'm, you know what? You bring a knife, I'm bringing a gun. You bring a gun, I'm bringing a, believe me.
Doug, as I started to say, the military, our military could, if they agree with President Trump, take action and arrest the people who were behind what happened on November 3rd. That needs to happen. If it does, we may avoid a civil war. If it doesn't, I don't see where it's avoidable. And that's what the communists really want. The communists want the Americans to kill each other before they make their move. And
but communists in this country are not Americans. I'm going to tell you right now. You have the Biden bootlickers. You have the people who, for example, in my opinion, of people such as Ruby Freeman and her daughter. Okay, remember those, allegedly, you know, fixing the vote in Georgia, okay? People like that. I'm not saying them, but people like that, at least the perception. Okay, to me, these are communists. These are people, the ends justify the means, all right? Again, I'm not pointing fingers at Freeman, but that's the optics which we're seeing, okay? So when you take the communists, you say our enemies want us to go against each other. No, our enemies are in the friggin' gate. They're here. They're our enemies. The enemies are the ones changing the votes. The enemies are the ones saying, oh, no, there is no voting fraud. The enemies are the ones saying, you're going to wear a mask and you're going to like it. You're going to obey and you're going to like it. And I'm tired. I'm really tired, okay, of all this. I'm done. I'm over it. And this might sound like a just nothing but a rant, but I'll tell you what, I think I speak for the majority of Americans when I say enough is enough. But they're not Americans. They're communists in this country. And they're not Americans. They're not our friends. They may be our neighbors, but they're not our friends. And I think back to that one quote, and I don't know who to attribute the quote to. How does it feel to kill a man? I don't know. I haven't killed one. I've only killed communists. And that's the way I feel. So go ahead, John. I didn't mean to interrupt you with another yet rant. I think Eric, go ahead and cut my mic, Eric. Just cut me off.
No, man. Keep going.
There's like different ways. That was pretty good, Doug.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you feel when you kill a communist? Recoil. But the communists in this country are carrying the water for the communist Chinese. The communist Chinese call American communists useful idiots. And when the communists do eventually take over, the first people they put up against the wall to execute are the Nancy Pelosi's and all the useful idiots that helped them get to where they are. The communist Chinese
call that pay-per-view TV. But go ahead.
Right.
Well, it gives us something to look forward to.
Well, it may or may not be televised, but the communist logic is the following logic. If these American communists would betray their own country, their own people, how can we possibly trust them? And, of course, they don't, because they're traitors. And they lock them up and they execute them. That's the first thing they do when they take over. But that is the goal of the communist Chinese, is to use the American communists to help them achieve their goal of destroying the United States. And they're well on their way, guys, very well on their way. I still have hope that they can be stopped. And, once again, if we have strong sheriffs in 3,000 counties, that will be a very big impediment towards the Chinese achieving their goal of taking over the entire country. 3,300 counties with 3,300 sheriffs who, and by the way, by tradition, by statute, usually in most of the 50 states, the county sheriff is the head of the county militia. So we're looking at a massive army of millions of armed men and women ready to stand for freedom and fight for our way of life, our constitution, and our country. And that's what needs to happen, gentlemen, is organizing at the county level to resist the New World Law Order at the county level. I really do believe that's what needs to happen. What do you think, Doug?
I'll go ahead and jump in there. I absolutely agree. This concept that was floated around about going after the federal government, that's a lofty goal. This has to start at a county level, city level.
And who's, when it comes to any law to confiscate firearms, who's going to do the confiscating? I know my county sheriff, he's a former Marine, great guy, great patriot. He and his men aren't going to do that and not going to allow anybody else to do it. And my sheriff is no exception. He's the rule of most of these sheriffs who will defend the Constitution and not allow their men to be used to enforce unconstitutional laws. And, in fact, they will stop that from happening in their county. They'll stop the state patrol. They'll stop federal marshals. They'll stop FBI. They'll stop ATF agents, whatever it takes. What happened in Waco, Texas, for example, is a great example of when a sheriff could and should have acted to stop that carnage, to stop that crime from taking place when it was innocent men and women and children.
And where in the hell was the sheriff at
I don't
that
know,
time?
Doug. I don't know. If he was, I don't know anything about the details. I know a lot about what happened in Waco, but I've never looked into that sheriff, whether that was an elected sheriff or an appointed sheriff. But the sheriff, if he was an elected sheriff, he or she obviously stood down and allowed the government to do that. And that was wrong. That was just an absolute tragedy and never should have happened.
Amen. Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, I agree.
But, look, the fight is going to be local. Everything is local. Politics is local. The fight is going to be local. It speaks to me, and John, to me, again, it speaks to me when you see walls and razor wire at the Capitol, at the White House, at the Supreme Court. And people, look, people outside of D.C. I don't think they really have a clue, because the media is not covering this, just how fortified this area is. I mean, you're not talking about just a little fence. You're talking about a big fence and sharp razor wire and military. Mm-hmm. Okay. But, of course, hey, in the southern border, no problem. Come on in. In fact, they just let 25,000 more people in. Screw it, No, you can't have walls at the border, but you certainly can have walls at the Capitol. What are they doing? I mean, are they that afraid of us? Which I would say Pelosi and Schumer and even Mitch, I would say you ought to be afraid of us. That's not a threat. That's an assessment. I'm looking at the people out there. They ain't happy. Me included. I don't know. I can't remember what we're talking about. Randy, you're going to have to keep this on track. You're going to have to keep this on track. I can't remember what we're talking about, but the bottom line is,
People are fed up, man. We know that. But it's like John says, it has to start at the local level. That's almost controllable. That's something that you can have a hand in and you can see the results of your work. When you talk about going up against the federal government, it's going to take, you know, a good majority of those 3,300 counties to do it.
I know firsthand gentlemen of county sheriffs in my state of Missouri who began almost a year ago to organize their county militias. And that's not nothing exceptional about that. That's happening all over the United States, that county sheriffs are organizing their county militias, recruiting, training, equipping, setting up a chain of command, communications, everything they need to have an effective county militia. And they've already been used in Missouri to stop Antifa from causing any harm. Antifa would show up, and there'd be maybe 30 of them in a bus, and they're confronted by 300 militiamen who are armed, trained, equipped with everything they need to communicate with the sheriff and have a proper chain of command and defend the community. That's already taking place. And of course, our opposition, the communists, know this, and it scares the hell out of them, and it should scare the hell out of them because they know they're going to lose. They can't take on 3,300 county militias with anywhere from a small county south of me was able to put 300 men in the field, and the whole county population is less than 10,000 people. These bigger counties can field a force of 1,000 men easy. What's 3,000 times 1,000? Sounds like 3 million to me, Randy, right?
Oh, I agree. You know? A lot of it, though, we got to get these sheriffs off their asses and get going.
Right. Well, they will. And they're all political animals by definition. Of course they are. And some will act quicker than others. That's expected. But when it comes down to it, they will act when they need to carry out their duty that they swore an oath to defend their community, defend their county against all enemies, foreign and domestic, defend the Constitution. Now, up in Missouri until recently, even notary publics had to take an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I've been a notary since, I guess, about 1973, and they discontinued that as part of the being a notary public. Almost all office holders take an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's ubiquitous among all elected officials in the United States, as far as I'm aware, Randy. Are you aware of anything different?
No, I'm not. I know very little about notary publics. I've had them work for me before, but
when I was a young investigator, I had to go up in the '73. Go up in the jail. At the time, smoking was allowed, so it was a stinky, nasty place. And to get a sworn statement, I had to have a notary to notarize the statement of the prisoner. So I would take these girls from the courthouse with me, and finally, after two or three times, these girls would say, "John, you need to become a notary. We don't want to come up here anymore." So I said, "Okay, I'll become a notary." So I could take sworn statements. That was, like I say, 1973. Yeah.
Our family owned car dealerships in the back in the late 80s, and that's so we had to have a notary on staff to process paperwork.
Take care of the titles for the automobiles. Yeah. Absolutely. Regardless, that's what office holders do. They take an oath to support the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
I'd like to see these sheriffs, first of all, first and foremost, get on top of this, get involved in the actual voting and securing the voting.
Well, they can. Voter fraud is a crime. It's a felony. And so any crime, they have the authority to investigate, and they should investigate.
Absolutely.
If
we don't get this voting thing squared away, we're not all the rest
done,
is
we're done. Yeah. Republic.
Yeah, we, the rest right. is for naught.
We right. cannot move past November 3rd. We cannot move past no. November 3rd. We have to address November 3rd, what happened there. We have to get that. We look, I understand the Supreme Court is going to be listening to, I guess it's Sidney Powell or Lynn Wood's cases, a couple of cases coming up. I get that. All right. But then what? Then what? Where in the hell is our Justice Department? They're too busy looking for, supporters of President Trump. By the way, it's President's Day. Happy President's Day, President Trump. The putative president, in the White House. No, not so much.
I got hairy legs.
That guy. Yeah. Yeah. He's got hairy legs. All right. He's got roaches crawling up. Anyway. Now that threw me off, but I like that. I'm glad that, but see, what the hell was I talking about when you
hairy legs,
hairy legs.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my question. All right. You've got sheriffs, you've got, when this thing breaks out, guys, I mean, I'm looking for your assessment because I look, The left is full force communist into this new world order, this Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum. This is the bigger picture. No one's going to own anything and you're going to be happy. Everything's going to be rented. You get the bigger picture on this. All right. And no, that's not how it's going to happen. That's not how I'm going to leave this world to my grandchildren. That's not how this is going to go down. But you've got the, and I saw this on a comment on one of our videos. And by the way, we're on Rumble. We're on Roku, folks. 3.5 million downloads last month. Thank you very much in that one platform. And I appreciate that, but sign up for Rumble and, listen to us on Rumble. But here's what's happening. The Biden regime is busy working to make the patriotic Americans, the America First people, domestic terrorists. And the comment that I referenced the executive order back from the 1980s, 12333, which was the executive order titled United States Intelligence Activities. That was designed to permit the NSA and the CIA to target U.S. citizens as domestic terror threats, okay? So follow me on this. What the U.S. is doing is saying, okay, if you were at the Capitol, if you promoted the Capitol event, I don't care if it was for the rally, if you are a pro-Trump person, you are a domestic terrorist. So under that classification, what are the sheriffs gonna do if you're classified, if we are classified, which they want to do as domestic terrorists? You're not going to be able to fly. You're not going to be able to own a handgun. You're going to be constantly under surveillance. I mean, so at some point, John and Randy, walk me through this, man. I mean, we're fixing on a fight.
Oh, we are. Well, let's go back to your original premise about November 3rd. If the election fraud is not fixed and addressed with criminal prosecutions and making sure we have free and fair elections, we're done as a republic. We're finished as a republic. It's over. And I got a couple of women that come on with me every Tuesday on my show to talk about election fraud. And, the problem, Doug and Randy, is the only people that can fix the election fraud in the main states we're talking about, Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, they can't be gotten out of office because they got a surefire way to win every election. The people who have the power and authority to fix it aren't going to because they did the fraud in the first place, and we can't unelect them. So that's...
Well, we can unelect them. It takes trees and rope. But...
Well, and that's where the military comes in. I'd rather see it be done by military tribunals as opposed to mob violence, Randy. That's what really needs to happen is the military being the last step before mob violence, kicks in. The color of law would be on the side of the military to take action to defend the republic. That's their oath, to defend the republic.
They seem to have forgotten their oath though.
So far.
I'm not too impressed with them.
And if I had a way to disagree with you, I would, sir. But I'm holding out hope that there may be a plan that we're not aware of for them to take action. If not, we're left with 3,300-plus counties that need to defend themselves against the New World Order. And they will, most of them. Majority of them will. Doug, going back to something you said earlier about sheriffs looking into election fraud, I don't know how many have or if any have. I'm not aware of it myself.
No, I haven't heard of any, not a single instance.
No, no, our chiefs of police, our prosecuting attorneys.
Is that even in their venue? I mean, that's my question. Do they even have the statutory authority to look into that?
If it occurred in their county and it's a criminal offense, I would think they'd absolutely have the authority to look into it.
A county prosecutor can investigate any crime, even if it is a federal crime. Of course they can. Where it goes from there, the Department of Justice obviously would have to be involved if it's federal. But we've seen nothing out of the Department of Justice that's going to help that I'm aware of.
No. Department of jokesters.
I'm telling you,
I have no, faith whatsoever in any of our federal law enforcement. None, nada. I think they suck. I think they've dropped the ball. I think they've violated their oaths. And I think every one of them son of a bitches belong in a jail cell.
The ones, I agree. And John, look, I'm pro law enforcement. I have been. But not this law enforcement, not
yeah,
this.
Yeah, if they're law enforcement, the FBI right now is not law enforcement.
No. It's a club.
It's like the KGB for the Russian government.
Chinese Communist Party, but yeah, I get the idea.
Whatever, I'm just saying though they become a political arm. They're not unbiased law enforcement anymore. They suck.
But okay, so John, I mean, what you're saying too, because this is another thing. You look at BLM and Antifa up in the Pacific Northwest. You see them piling snow, so emergency vehicles, police specifically, can't get out to respond to calls, and they stand back there with their thumbs up their butts. Okay, you know, I could not be a cop, today. I just couldn't do it today because I'd be on trial. Simple as that. Okay. How do police officers justify standing down? Is it because of the almighty pension that they're protecting? Is that the reason? And if so, get the hell out of the job. And you know, grow a pair and if you're a police, and I guess this is part of the problem. Police chiefs, police commissioners. I mean, look at New York is destroyed. It was San Francisco's destroyed. Portland, for love of God, destruction is in the rearview mirror in Portland and Seattle. You talk about communist strongholds. I guess, where are the police? Businesses. Finally, now we have businesses, I believe it's in Wisconsin, suing the mayors and the city saying, hey, no, you know what? My business is destroyed. I guess we need more people from the ground level to go after and to hold accountable police chiefs, the city mayors and stuff. Yeah. Like you said,
county level. Go after them county by county by county by county and just absolutely bury the courts with this crap. Tommy, just rip them new ones. And while everybody's locked up in their houses and all that, these mayors and everybody, they're still getting paychecks. They're not affected by these businesses closing. They're affected that they can't go to lunch. That's about it. You know?
Well, they go to lunch at a private club is what they do.
Yeah, they can't go buy their mistress some new underwear at Victoria's Secret. I'm done with the whole freaking deal. And next time that we go to Washington, we need to make sure that the Blacks for Trump and all those people that are on Twitter and social media, they need to be with us. They need to be out front, you know, because maybe it's because I noticed Black Lives Matter doesn't get messed with. So, you know, maybe we need to have more of our Black brothers with us. You know what I mean? And maybe we won't get smeared as hard by the media. I'm disgusted by the whole thing. I know there were plenty of Black Americans that are patriots that were there on the 6th, and mysteriously, any photographs of them disappeared. Mm. Because, you know, it was a big white supremacist movement. I'm so sick and tired of this crap. I'm in a foul mood this week anyway, so...
Well, that leaves John.
You're screwing with the wrong people there, government. And that Mitch McConnell, what a piece of crap. What an absolute piece of crap.
And you're referencing, of course, just so people understand, Mitch McConnell, after the impeachment vote, and John, I don't know whether you saw this. I'm sure you did. He came out and essentially said, go after President Trump, criminal courts.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see people go after Mitch McConnell for his Chinese connections, Chinese wife, and other money flow criminally too. But we don't have, apparently we don't have the interest. The federal government doesn't have the interest. Now, I will say this to the listeners and viewers. We have things going on in the background, okay? In terms of, exposure.
Don't tell them.
All right.
It'll be surprise.
A surprise.
Courtesy of the Hagman Report.
A surprise would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got hairy legs. All right.
Are you talking about McConnell's wife again?
Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, with John and Randy, the House manager from the Virgin Islands, you know, the impeachment manager. I'm sorry, the impeachment manager from Virgin Islands. I don't know how many people saw the absolutely disgusting pictures of her that one of her aides had captured from her iPhone that needed fixing. So she gave this aide the password. This is from 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you could see, shall we say, all of this Virgin Island House manager. You can see all of her. If you go certain places on the internet, and I'll just say that, you can see all of her. And you talk about class. You see, that's the epitome of class. That's class. Boy, is that class. And they talk about, our former first lady, but I digress. Go on. Guys, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. I'm done. So I keep saying I'm done. I'm not done. I'm not done.
No, you ain't going anywhere, buddy.
I have an important day.
Really?
Well, Doug, if you need to take off, go ahead. Randy and I can handle it.
I just might take you up on that because two people in foul moods. And so you got two people in foul moods, John. So no, go ahead, John. Well, go ahead, John. Yeah, you're the voice of reason. Like,
we need to play a minute or so of Don't Worry, Be Happy.
You're not going to play that song in the background, are you?
Oh, Lord. I remember.
I have used that for bumper music, by the way.
Oh, gosh. Takes me back to 86, 87.
A year ago today, I was on a massive ship in the Caribbean, and just enjoying life with a bunch of my listeners. And it was my first and probably last cruise unless something changes.
Hey, we're going to get a copyright strike, my friend. Don't do that.
Was Randy starting to whistle the song?
No, he was starting to play Bobby McFerrin.
Okay. That's okay.
All right.
Laughter is great medicine, gentlemen. One of the things I learned in combat is the guy who has no sense of humor will get himself and everybody around him hurt.
Yeah, no shot.
The sense of humor will keep you alive in bad times. It really will.
Sometimes you just gotta laugh, man.
That's right. That's right. when a bullet just barely misses you and hits the wall behind you, you gotta laugh. You know, you gotta laugh. I thought about if I ever get back to Vietnam, I know where one of those bullets is and I could dig it out of the concrete wall. I don't know exactly where it is. I haven't painted over that. Something about a bullet, when it goes subsonic, you can hear it coming at you. And when it's still supersonic, obviously you can't. So I heard that bullet coming at me, and I was able to duck. And it's still embedded in that concrete wall, I'm pretty sure.
You know, that's kind of a nice thing here with this broadcast. All three of us have been shot at. Now, for different reasons, but all three of us have been shot at. So it's kind of
I didn't deserve it, Doug.
I got to say – In one case, I did. In the other cases, I did not. Okay.
I'd say four of us. There's some holes around this office area.
Actually, yes, yes. And,
and some couches. And
yeah, I did shoot a couch once. Recently. Had to sell it.
Uh-huh.
No excuse.
You sold a couch with a bullet hole in it? No, right.
With bullets rolling around in the frame.
Free lead with your leather couch.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one, look.
I have no comment.
All right. But anyway, yeah, you're right, though. You know, John, so you hear that bullet coming at you. It kind of makes your boys kind of go up in your chest, don't they? I mean, you know.
Well, you got a microsecond to react, and if you do properly, you miss the shot. If you don't, you don't. And
don't go left or right. Drop.
Was it Teddy Roosevelt or Winston Churchill? One of them said the most, I think it was Churchill, most exciting thing a man can do is be shot at and not get hit. And I'm not sure I would agree with it, but it is pretty exciting. Yeah. But gentlemen, we need to look at where our republic is, where it is right now, where it's going, and how to help get it back on course. Hopefully, at the national level for free and fair elections, the average guy can't do much, if anything at all. The outcome of what happened on November 3rd was completely criminal, completely illegal, and it's going to be up to state legislators to change it. That's who can do it. That's who will do it if it happens. I'm not looking for anything to come out of these courts. If it does, I'll be grateful, but so far they've not shown any sign of doing anything of any consequence. The three cases that are pending, we'll see. I don't know what effect they're going to have, if any.
I don't expect anything out of the courts.
Right.
They've had ample time. They've had enough stuff put in front of them prior to the inauguration. I have no faith in the court system. They're right up there with the FBI.
They've shown no reason to have any faith in them at all. A lot of speculation about why. Apparently, Chief Justice Roberts' name appears on the passenger list going to that island where all the stuff took place there with Epstein's Island. So he's probably compromised. Yep. Which always brings back to acting at the local level. So how do you do that? You can contact your county clerk, find out if there's an opening in your township to become a Republican committeeman, Republican committee woman. If there is, you can file for that when next time a filing is open. If it's an open seat, the committee may appoint you to take up that seat and be part of the Republican Central Committee. These committees are the basis of our republic, the basis of our constitutional republic functioning properly. And it may not sound like much as an individual committeeman or committee woman. It's not much as an individual position. Where the strength comes is from the thousands of men and women who participate nationwide at the county level. That's where the strength comes from.
One key seat in every county that we need to get conservatives into is supervisor of elections. Those are elected positions.
Right. If they have really, some counties would and some won't. But if they do, in Missouri, we have county clerks that fill that position.
Okay. But so predominantly, but we noticed predominantly held, and the supervisor election positions seem to be predominantly held by the left. And there's a reason for that.
In the areas that had the voter fraud, absolutely, that's what happened.
Yes. So that means that's just something. It seems insignificant, but that is a very important role. And we've got to get the right people in that. That right there, with the sheriffs behind them and just do it. There's so much we could do at county level just by these simple things.
I agree, Randy, and that's what needs to happen.
It's like we're not seeing the forest for the trees here.
Some
of these count.
John, to your credit, to your state's credit, okay, talk about locally, okay, One of the things that people, that you mentioned earlier, H.R. 127, of course, the gun confiscation intention by the government, the resolution that's waiting for still in committee, I believe. Missouri passed House Bill 87 last week. House Bill 87 is saying, oh, no, no, no to H.R. 127, using states' rights, which I think is fabulous. So that's one example. Now, that's on a state level, not on a local level, but you get the idea. It's kind of the same thing. It's the same principle. And kudos to the state of Missouri for saying, uh-uh, ain't going to happen here. So just saying.
Missouri, you know, I used to live in Missouri. It is a great state. It's a fantastic state.
Well, we have a very pro-Second Amendment House and Senate mm-hmm. and Governor. And they're not perfect by any stretch. They recently did something in support of the pharmaceutical industry. It's disappointing. But overall, they're pretty conservative and do the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I just know. I know. I enjoyed living there. I liked every. The government never did me wrong when I lived in Missouri. I can say that. I wasn't too big on the state tax, but state income tax. But that's all right. It really didn't amount to squat because I didn't make squat back then.
Right. Right. Well, Missouri does have a state income tax, and it's based on a percentage of the federal tax is what it is.
And down where you're at. Especially down the Ozarks, down that way, it's beautiful. The best times of my life were in that state.
If you like trees and hills and rivers, yeah, this is where you want to be.
And good people, just good people. Just the people were good. You know,
for the most part, they are.
You could go for a weekend or on vacation or wherever you went. They were friendly. They were past friendly.
I can give a good example. My wife and I were having dinner at a restaurant in another county that we did not live in. And my vehicle had some issues. I had to call a service truck to pick it up, and I need to visit my brother. And the waitress serving us, she heard us talking, and she says, "Would you like to borrow my car?" and I said, "Well, I can't do that. We don't know you." And she says, "Sure, you should take my car." So we agreed to take her car, and I offered her my wife's driver's license as collateral to demonstrate who we were and that we'd be back. So we borrowed a car, visited my brother, had dinner, came back, and I returned the car, fresh from the car wash with a full tank of gas and a $20 bill, thanking her for loaning us her car. But this was a complete stranger we never met before, and that's real friendliness, Randy and Doug. Oh, yeah. And that's not unusual in where we live. People typically don't lock their cars, don't lock their homes up, especially when they are at home. We take care of each other. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Amen.
It's not like that everywhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, hardly.
In the United States.
And you know, the places where that's not like, you get San Francisco and you got New York City, you're seeing people leave these areas. Which, again, to your local argument, which I strongly support, you're going to see cities like New York City be in so much financial trouble because of the mm-hmm. lack of tax base. The business is just going under, mm-hmm. Which is why I believe.
Thank you, Chinese flu.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you know that, so the Chinese flu, the Communist Chinese Party flu. Why aren't we allowed to say that? Why aren't we allowed to be? It's
well, we're saying it. You and I and Randy are.
But
yeah. I haven't stopped saying.
Hey, wait. Is this thing on? Is anyone hearing us anymore? You know, it's getting to the point where the censorship and moving into the censorship part of things. You know, if you mentioned the China flu, Kung flu, whatever you want to call it. It came from a lab in Wuhan, China. It was the gain of function studies were from Fauci. The gain of function studies have ties to Fauci through the financing and such. it was too dangerous for P4 labs here, so they moved it to Wuhan.
No, it's illegal here.
It wasn't
a matter of danger. We had level 4 labs, Doug, but manufacturing biological weapons is illegal in this country. So they went to China where it wasn't illegal. That's why that took place.
Exactly. And you know, it's interesting because the National Pulse just came out with an exclusive. Natalie Winters, I believe, is the author. Anyway, did an exclusive this weekend about the Washington Post, I believe it was, trying to say, wait a minute, this all came from nature. And so what I'm looking at too is the biofair nature of this, the people behind it, the money behind it, the intent behind it, as well as the censorship after it. And that's kind of, so, you know, you can't, at least on the big tech, and help us fight big tech, please. Follow us, subscribe to us at Rumble, and follow John at thelibertyman.com on his podcast too. But you cannot say this came from a lab. You cannot tie Fauci into gain of function studies. You cannot, and if you do, then you get censored. And you know, if they weren't so afraid of the truth, why would they ban it? Why would they censor it? If they weren't so afraid of this, if we weren't hitting the nail on the head, why would they feel the need to censor things, whether it's Facebook or Twitter?
Well, along the same lines, gentlemen, let's talk about the vaccine. Well, first of all, it's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy.
Very true.
So Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's been on top of this for about 20 years, and she's a medical doctor with some great credentials. Her belief, and she's gone public with this, is that in 4 to 14 months, after people receive these two vaccine and the follow-up shot, that people are going to start dying. And I'll use some non-medical, non-scientific terminology to try to explain this. First of all, there's about 20 coronaviruses, including the common cold. It's a coronavirus. There's never been a successful vaccine for a coronavirus, ever. And this is not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. When you've received this gene therapy, this mRNA shot, and you get the common cold, your body will kill itself. To use non-technical, non-medical terminology, your body will kill itself. Your ability to fight the common cold will be gone. And what's kicked in by the shot, by the mRNA shot, is what will kill you. It will activate parts of your body that will overcome your natural defenses and just kill you. Now, at my website, at thelibertyman.com, we have a video of Bill Gates giving a TED Talk, and in the TED Talk, he's advocating reducing the world's population with vaccines. Now, there's only two ways that can be done. I'm not aware of a third way. If there is, I'd love to know it. But one way would be to sterilize men or women. The other would be to murder men and women. And there's no third way to reduce the world's population with vaccines that I'm aware of. Can either one of you think of a third way, gentlemen?
No. No, on Gates, yeah, that's...
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. So that's the plan, is to kill Americans, and not just Americans, but this is worldwide.
Yeah.
I had my guest a couple of hours ago. He was in Southeast Asia. He's in Southeast Asia right now as we speak. And he says, well, John, everybody's wearing a mask, and they're all looking forward to getting vaccines. So it's going to be a worldwide population reduction using this mRNA gene therapy.
But have you seen also now India has shut down this vaccination program? Australia shut down its vaccination program.
Well, good for them.
There's countries that are starting to see this for what it is. Alex Jones had a broadcast yesterday. And I really listened to Alex. I don't have time. But it was good. It was actually pretty good pointing these things out. And people are starting to wake up.
That's very positive that India and Australia are doing it. Well, it leaves about 130 more countries that need to be doing it. And that is very positive. But I know the men and women in my neighborhood, the majority of them are looking for the vaccine. It's a shame. And you can't tell them any different. You may as well tell them that there's aliens are having barbecue on the White House lawn. You know, they're not going to believe it.
No.
It's simply not going to believe it.
Getting the vaccine is a complete crapshoot. I mean, you could be dead 30 minutes later. That's the thing.
Well, long term, there's no doubt, you know, with crapshoot, you got some percentage of winning. But with this vaccine, you have no chance of winning at all. It's a death sentence, as far as I'm concerned. There's going to be a lot of vacancies in employment and a lot of homes for sale from people dying from this. It's going to change our society. And the people that hit first is the ones getting the vaccination first, other than the elderly, will be all the first responders, police officers, the military, firemen, paramedics, all the healthcare workers. They're the first ones getting the vaccine after the elderly. And it's going to be decimating to our society to lose the people we need to protect us. I really do believe that's where this is heading, gentlemen. We shall see.
There was a, and I can't pull it up right now. There was a study that was done, and I use that word because it was a genuine study, where the number of people dying from the effects of the vaccine per capita exceed the deaths from the coronavirus itself. Mm-hmm. As of, I guess it was as of last Friday at whatever, midnight or whatever, but we're seeing this. And just a question. Remember that nurse that got jabbed on TV and then she,
right,
a little woozy, and then she fell over and fainted?
Right. Right.
Where's she at lately? We haven't
That's
heard
a good
her.
Question.
We haven't heard word one from her. Is she still alive? I don't know. And what about all these? Go ahead.
If she was dead, if she's dead, we're not going to hear about it.
Yeah. And she's not going to be, she'll be voting, but she won't be posting on social media.
No, she's with Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah. So what about the, and I don't know how, I watched the videos of people getting, some high profile people supposedly getting the vaccine, getting jabs. And you see,
Are they really?
That's my question. I'm seeing some really odd things there with the caps being on and caps being left on and stuff.
No, and nothing in the syringe. I offered to give Joe Biden the shot, but I don't know what he would take me up on it.
Secret Service, especially.
They're still across the street over here.
You see that white van, or see that dark van?
I'm going to run them out some cookies here in a little bit.
There you go. That's been done. I'll just say that's been done. That's all I'll just say. All right. Pizza, though. But okay. But
Croakies, man. Croakies.
Croakies. Yeah. Croakies. With my pierogies. While I'm singing karaoke. I've been practicing.
All right.
John, so this, but you're right. This is not a vaccine. This is a,
It's gene therapy.
It's called lethal injection. Come on, guys. Call it what it is.
Every attempt to do this in the past, they involved what they should be doing, which was animal testing. And every attempt in the past was stopped because all the animals died. Well, they skipped that. Now, we all recall it's been, 10, 11 months ago. Hydroxychloroquine was shown to be very effective. Now we've got some other things that are extremely effective. But the media and the medical establishment had to say, no, these things can't work. Can't use hydroxychloroquine. Well, the reason they said that was so that they could bypass all the safety precautions for manufacturing a new vaccine and go into what's called warp speed, right? That's what they call warp speed, right out of Star Wars. And bypass all the safety protocols for developing a new vaccine, which in fact they did. And now people are, we've heard about celebrities paying $5,000 to get in line first. People going from location to location to get any vaccine left over at the end of the day. It's what's being promoted in the media is everybody wants the vaccine. Everybody should get it. Now they're testing children as young as 6 years old with this vaccine, if you can believe that. Somebody under age 20 has more chance of dying from a lightning strike than they do from COVID-19.
Yeah.
It simply doesn't happen. But this vaccine thing is real. It's going to be the death of our country. I really believe that if it's allowed to continue, and I don't see anything's going to stop it.
It's definitely a shot at the elderly, John.
Oh, yes.
This is ridiculous what we're witnessing, and they can call it what they want. They're euthanizing the elderly.
Well, the evidence is finally coming out on what Cuomo did in New York State.
That son of a gun belongs in jail.
Oh, absolutely. Putting COVID-19 patients in these nursing homes, you mm-hmm. want to kill people, that's a really quick way to do it, and that's, in fact, what he did.
And what they didn't kill with that, they're going to turn around and kill them with the vaccine.
Absolutely. Well, we're already seeing the documentation of that as well. Nursing home patients getting the vaccine and getting either really sick or dying within a day or two.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I hope we can wake up some people. There's a lot of great information at my website, videos and articles written by scientists and doctors and produced by scientists and doctors on the videos that will give the evidence of why you should not mess with this vaccine. And instead, do the ivermectin protocols. That's what I do every day, the vitamin D3, vitamin C, zinc, and so forth, to help my immune system do what my immune system is supposed to be, which is resist getting sick. And I would hope that's what people would do that. Doug?
No, you're exactly right. And I think if you start out with a healthy immune system, which is why our program, folks, go to healthmasters.com. This is, I don't get paid to say this, but they've got some fantastic nutritional supplements, vitamin D3, K2, C, B, ultimate multiple vitamins. But if we keep our immune systems and our health, our bodies healthy from the beginning, we're going to be stronger and we're not going to be, pulled. I mean, look, things happen, I mean, you get sick, you get a virus, a day or two, whatever. I mean, it's just the way it is, but you can't, and John, you've said this before, you can't eat like crap and, have pizza for breakfast every morning like I used to. And expect to be healthy. You just can't do it. So
no, you can't. You can't.
And Randy, I know your protocol is interesting to say the least, but it's good. It's good stuff. I'm going to show you. I don't know if you have that graphic. Do you have that graphic that I sent? All right. To your credit, you're not going to see this around. This is going around certain groups. John, to your credit. This is going around now. This is exactly what you were saying.
It is.
Okay. This is starting to make its way into various groups. And in one organization or one message board, I'll just read the headline here. Feeling bad. I won't say the bad word. Feeling like a bad person, Feeling like, you want to rock and roll. Want to step it up? Want to create a shortage of adult diapers in the pantry or in the pantry at RNC headquarters? Send them this image. And when you look at that, that's everything you've been saying. That's everything you've been saying.
It is. Absolutely. That's a great little graphic there. They're very nice and colorful and easy to read, and it makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So this is how we fight. And I didn't mean to take us off of the non-vaccine vaccine and Fauci, the garden gnome. Anyway, this is how we're going to take back our country and if this doesn't happen, it's going to go to bloodshed.
And the best part is if we do this, a lot of this will go largely undetected.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So it's
an awesome plan of attack.
What that graph represents is not newsworthy, so it will be largely unknown, undetected.
I love it. And come election time, it'll be like surprise.
and that's what that we got played during this election.
Yeah.
So let's rip a page out of their playbook and do it that
Why
way.
Why not? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's so you're exactly right. Oh, my goodness. There's just so much more. John, go ahead and continue on your, well, by the way, thelibertyman.com, folks. Make sure you mark that. Go ahead.
Most of our listeners, Doug, are not going to get the vaccine. They need to educate themselves so that they can hopefully save a few lives by convincing whoever they can convince not to get the vaccine. Everybody you convince not to get the vaccine is a life saved. So that's a worthwhile project. The tools that are available at my website at libertyman.com involve information and educational material. I've talked to liberals about this who believe in the vaccine. They don't believe that Bill Gates gave this TED Talk. They think it's something, a fantasy. It's made up. Well, it's not. It's Bill Gates in living color in his own words talking about reducing the world's population by using vaccines. Now, you're not going to convince everybody. You may talk to 10 people and maybe 8 may still get the vaccine, but the 2 that change your minds, that's 2 lives saved. And that's a worthwhile project, is to save lives and help us to remain strong as a country, as a republic, by saving lives, by encouraging people to not get the vaccine. A worthwhile goal, and it's not going to cost you any money. Simply talk to relatives, co-workers, people you go to church with, people you go to school with, people that you go on a bowling league, whatever it might be, and encourage them to not get the vaccine.
And you just brought up a good point. Ministers need to get involved in this.
Absolutely, they do.
I'm so sick and tired of these ministers sitting on their hands while the world falls apart around them.
They're afraid to
start doing your job.
Right. They're afraid to upset anybody who puts money in a collection plate. That's why preachers are. That's an unfortunate fact of life. Getting back to something Doug mentioned earlier about these police officers, why they won't do the right thing for the right reasons. Well, a lot of them are just resigning. And it's not just police officers, it's also firemen. It's more, since 9/11/01, it's been more firemen leave the New York City Fire Department than ever. And the same thing's happened with police officers in New York City. Police officers are resigning, finding a better place. Now, when they get close to retirement and they got a pension invested in, it makes it more difficult. They have a wife, a mortgage, and obligations, maybe a kid in college, and it makes it difficult to resign. Some do, some don't.
They're looking at a lifetime wasted is what they're looking at.
They are. They are. So they have to rationalize. Well, maybe if I stay, I can make a difference. Well, probably not. But I've met many retired cops. They retire from the Chicago Police Department, for example. They come to the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. A lot of retired Chicago cops in the Ozarks, by the way.
Well, that's a hell of a difference when you think about it, from Chicago to
Oh, absolutely.
Ours. Wow.
Yeah.
That's like
absolutely.
Dying and going to heaven.
You know, on a weekend, the death count in Chicago is equal to an average day in combat in Vietnam. We're losing about 10 to 12 men a day in combat in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And Chicago easily surpasses that death toll on most weekends.
Yeah.
It's become a war zone, literally a war zone. It's a shame, but that's a consequence of the policies of the city of Chicago and the communists, I believe.
I just look at that freak they have for a mayor there in Chicago. That creature that looks like she died. She looks like she died 10 or 12 years ago. She looks like
a reconstituted
corpse.
Very strange.
You know the thing.
That thing, yeah.
Right.
She's I think America's first lesbianic Beetlejuice corpse of a mayor.
I got hairy legs.
She does. So I'm told. It's rumor. I don't know. It's
Washington. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
I'm going to jump topic on you. I found the information I was looking for before the graphic I was looking for before Alex Berenson put up a tweet, and take a look at this. You were talking about the non-vaccine. How much more likely are you to die after getting the coronavirus vaccine, and that's their Alex Berenson's word, than the flu vaccine? 300 to 900 times, based on federal VAERS reports. 900 times. Coronavirus, one death reported per 35,000 shots. or 10,000 completed vaccinations so far. Flu, one death per 9 million vaccinations. Again, I'm using vaccinations because that's Alex Berenson using vaccinations, the word. But the source, the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is VAERS is the acronym, 21 deaths this flu season after 180 plus million vaccines. Folks, you can read this on the screen there. But those deaths are likely coincidental with respect to the flu vaccinations, a simple result of the number of shots given. The coronavirus vaccination, again, not a vaccination, not so much. There it is right there, based on stats from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. You can't really argue with that. There you go.
No. And that's a reporting system that was in place for years.
Yes.
This is not like it's something that was drummed up by conservative patriots to dispute the government. It's been there for years. It's just telling you what the facts are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and of course, will that see the light of day on Facebook or the Twitter? No.
And how about on the mainstream media?
Exactly.
I mean,
John,
I'm tired of Twitter and Facebook. I'm closing my accounts on Twitter. Yeah. I'm serious. I'm done.
Gab, and USA.life. John, you're on USA.life, I think, aren't you, or no?
Not yet, but it was an announcement. Parler's back on the air as of today.
Yep.
Parler's back. I'm moving my shows to Rumble from YouTube. That's we're running both right now, but effective the 1st of March, we'll drop YouTube and go only on Rumble. I do have a Facebook page, but I look at it every at least twice a year to see if anything's going on there. I really don't do anything with it. I'm not obviously not big on social media. I do like to see pictures of my grandchildren, but that's about it. But the social media thing has become massive, and the control they exercise is unjustified. And we're doing workarounds. We got Rumble, we got Parler, we got Breitbart, and there's some others out there. So we'll do the workarounds, and let's leave these people in the dust, won't we, Doug?
Absolutely. And Randy Taylor on you're in Gab, right? I can't remember. You're going on.
No, I'm not on Gab yet. I'm on Parler. I don't really use it, though. I just, honestly, the social media has kind of turned me off lately. The reason with Parler is I don't like the format. But, you know, if I have to talk to people, I guess I'll go there. Well, I got to look at Gab and see what's going on there. I don't know.
I've got to tell you, both of you, Andrew Torba from Gab, the head of Gab, is a really great guy. I mean, he's a solid Christian. He is a constitutionalist, and I don't get paid to say this. I'm on Gab. I don't post that often, but you know something, John and Randy, if we are going, a lot of people want alternatives, and if we're going to destroy, and I mean destroy Twitter, destroy Jack Dorsey, destroy Zuckerberg, we need to walk away, dust our feet off, walk away, and starve the beast. I mean, that's what we really need to do.
Don't feed the greed.
That's right. Don't feed the greed. I like that.
Well, if they collapse, they collapse. But in the meantime, we do our workarounds, and we continue our work without censorship.
Yes.
You know, if they fail. They dug their own grave and let them fall into it. But our job is to focus on our work, being free from censorship and moving forward to inform people and just leave these people in the dust. Whatever happens to them, happens to them. I don't really care. If they collapse, they collapse. Mm. But our focus needs to be on being productive and getting the word out without censorship, guys.
Exactly. John, from you, any kind of feeling as to where the concept or where the censorship writ large is headed? In other words, is the First Amendment, and people say, well, this is not a First Amendment issue because these are private platforms, it doesn't apply. So, you know, of course, they got protections under Section 230, the CDA. But my question is, my assertion is, because they have filled up the Village Square, the digital Village Square, they've, to me, they've got to be treated like utilities, and they've got to be broken up. That's at least to me that should happen. Okay. That's not the solution, but that's one of the methods of taking over. But are we going to be, I guess, John, my question to you and Randy to you, are we looking at something that's going to get worse over the coming days, coming weeks, coming months, or something that's going to find its high water mark in other areas? What do you think?
Well, the Democrats in charge of the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office, there's not going to be any federal legislation to change it. The big tech companies will continue doing their thing unimpeded for at least 4 years, I believe. Department of Justice isn't going to do anything. So we just need to do what we're doing.
The only way to hurt these people is financially, and they get paid for flashing ads on your account.
That's right.
They get, those are impressions they get paid for. Close the account. That's one less place that they're getting paid.
That's right.
It's just like if a restaurant screws up your dinner and the waiter's rude and the whole nine yards, and then they come over the table and go, oh, well, here's a coupon to come back and we'll buy your dinner. I'm not coming back. If you treated me like that today, how do you think I'm going to get treated with a free coupon? No. Right. Sorry, here's how I hurt you. I don't come back.
Right.
That's how you hurt these people. Don't feed the greed. Walk away.
We leave and they lose.
That's 100 million people right there. That's half, not half, a third of the population in the United States just took a dump on them. That's what you
do. Well, it's half the adults. One third of the people in this country are children, so it's about half the adults.
Yeah, but what a dent that way. If everybody Friday morning said, that's it, we're shutting it. And I would love to see it. I would like to see it on a timed thing when we all do it at the same time, because the market would collapse.
Well, that's what happened to the Boy Scouts of America. One third of all the Boy Scouts quit in one day. When the homosexuals took over the leadership of these Boy Scouts, they said, no, we're out of here. Yeah. And that was all the Mormon Boy Scouts, which is one third of their membership. And that hurt them tremendously, and it should have.
I would just like to see their stock go through the floor.
Needs to happen.
Yep.
Needs to happen, absolutely. So we're having some impact here, Jim. We're educating the public about vaccines today. We're educating the public about how they can have an effect at the local level politically. And we're educating them on the threats to the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, both. And people need to be aware of this and have their own line in the sand. I have a line in the sand. If they want to come my guns, well, come and get them. They'll still be hot when you pick them up.
Be hot. The barrels will still be hot to touch.
Right.
Yeah. But
we need to be doing this in 3,300 counties. It needs to be happening right now, and it is happening right now. It is. It doesn't need the three of us to make it happen. It's happening on its own. If we can add to it, hey, I'm all for it. Let's throw a few more matches on the fire, and help people realize that they're not helpless. They're not hopeless. That they can have a very positive impact on our republic at the local level. If they can protect themselves from vaccines by simply refusing it, if it becomes a mandate for employment, you can always get another job, but you only get one life. And some states, like Missouri, have a religious exemption from vaccines for school children, and it varies from state to state. But if we can educate one person today about the vaccines, we've saved a human life, and that makes this 2 hours worth it for me, that we've saved a human being from what seems to be certain death, taking these two shots. It's something I made.
You know what, John, about that? You've got, Pfizer and the other one, and then AstraZeneca suddenly kind of backed out of the vaccine market. It's my understanding. And again, I could be wrong on this. Yeah. I just saw something.
Well,
it's
only
about
two. There's Pfizer and Moderna are the only two vaccines you can get in this country. And you say Pfizer quit?
No, no, no. It was AstraZeneca, I believe, that left the table. And I could be wrong. I'm looking for this, but nonetheless, you know, just show them that anyone who wants to take the vaccine, show them that, the statistics from getting this vaccination. I'm just amazed at it amazes me at the number of people who are lining up for this.
When they said Hollywood was lining up, I was like, cool.
Yeah. You can have mine. In fact, you have
hand them out like candy, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's amazing. So, but John, I agree with you. If one person's mind can be changed by today's broadcast to not succumb to the media frenzy over this, you know, panacea of this non-vaccine, then that's good. And how can Fauci? I mean, how can anyone still have any belief in Fauci? I'm just blown away by the fact that people are still listening to this guy. Hey, you don't need masks. Okay, you need a mask. Not one. No, you need two masks. Now you need, John, did you hear this? The CDC is saying now what works even better, and I'm not lying, is taking pantyhose, nylons, pantyhose. Okay, and cutting it out and putting the pantyhose over the mask. I'm not lying about this. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that and go to the local bank.
I was kidding. Last week, when I said this, I did that when I was in my 20s, but not for the reasons. Anyway, the joke never didn't land that then either. But yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. I mean, at what point do people say, you guys are nuts? I mean, really, you guys are nuts. I don't know.
Well, three of us have been saying it. We need more people saying it, obviously.
I just, the amount of sheep just blow me away worldwide. Bah, bah, it just kills me. I'm like, you people are incapable of thought, rational thought. It's amazing.
It seems like
the same people that are claiming to help you are the same ones that are walking you into the slaughterhouse. And if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. We just gave you the stats on the shot killing people. What do you need? What do you need? I don't understand. People are too stupid to get through a day in life. I don't get it. How do you get to work every day? That's got to be amazing. Your boss must call you and walk you in with directions because you're a moron. because you're an absolute moron. Okay, I don't get you people. And then you've reproduced, and you're leading your children right down that same slaughter ramp, right into the slaughterhouse. Shame on you! Shame on you!
Good analogy. I like that, Randy. Yep.
and meanwhile, I'll just say this too, since we're talking about health issues in the coronavirus, Chinese Communist Party virus. The Surgeon General deleted the tweet. Let's see here. Where's the, okay. Seriously, people, stop buying masks. They are not effective in preventing general public from catching the coronavirus. Okay. But if healthcare providers can't get them to care for sick patients, it puts them in our communities at risk. That was a tweet from the U.S. Surgeon General. I'm not exactly sure. I think that was a while that the tweet was from earlier last year. Or sometime last year, but it was deleted. See, here's the thing. The Surgeon General deleted that tweet, and it's proof that the Surgeon General's office is covering up historical, you know, things of history. Of course,
you know, people, the one thing that really bothered me about all of this, nowhere, anywhere have I ever seen a receptacle on the street or anywhere for that matter that says, please dispose of your masks here.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So if this is so deadly and these masks are so important and all these masks are now infected and all that, what are we supposed to do? You know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to start putting them in the mailbox.
It's the only thing I see that's federal that has a droplet on it, and I'm going to start putting my dirty mask in the mailbox because I don't know what else to do with them. They're not safe in the garbage can. They're not safe in the recycle bin. I don't want them at my house if they're so deadly from such a deadly disease. So guess what? You want masks? You've been crying about masks. You tell me to wear a mask. I'm going to dispose of them with you. Okay?
There you go.
And by the way, feel free to do the same thing.
And I'd put a stamp on it and put the White House's address on it. And by the way, Fauci's the highest paid federal employee at $417,000 a year. Man, I'll tell you what, that would be a job to have, wouldn't it? $417,000 a year. And that guy's never met a camera he didn't like. But
no, and, anyway. not have a clue what you're doing.
Right. being wrong 90% of the time.
That 400 grand is just a small portion of what the man makes.
Yes.
Associations with the pharmaceutical industry.
Yep.
That's just pocket change for him. Yeah, the real money is with the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, his stock portfolio. That's what you
exactly.
And I'm telling you. Yeah. And by the way, that tweet from the Surgeon General was dated March 28th of 2020. So that it wasn't in January, it wasn't in February, it was March, and time enough to understand the coronavirus itself. But it's interesting to me that they're revising history in real time, or not in real time, revising history now to make sure that everyone's on the same page. So, but you're right. You know, when I was out yesterday with my wife briefly, I was in a parking lot, walking across the parking lot, and I saw probably three or four masks. You know, on the ground in the snow.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Those are supposed to be a deadly disease, man.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a horrendous, deadly disease, and these masks are just laying around. Well, I'm sorry. Pick them up. Put them in a federal receptacle.
Federal. Yeah. We should maybe you guys think we should start some sort of a campaign, have people.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just have, I'm telling you where to dispose of. It's their deal. I'm telling you, drop them off. I don't feel safe with them in my garbage can. I don't want to put them in a stranger's dumpster. So please, the federal government's pushing them. Let them dispose of them. Mailbox. Not your personal mailbox. I'm talking about that nice little one out there on the street. It's got the drop down lid. Stuff them in there. And then when it's full, send me a picture.
You know, John, I'm envisioning people in biohazard suits, like the mailman opening up the box and steam mask,
close it, and call it.
Yeah, which they'll do for them, for the federal employees, but they're not going to do it for us.
Exactly.
What a load of crap. Tell me, folks, this is how we beat it. If we do this and we do it nationwide, they will tell us to quit wearing masks. I'm telling you. Fill the mailbox receptacles. End of story.
Those poor mail carriers, though.
And you did it on your own accord. I didn't tell you to do it. I have freedom of speech.
I'm going to delete that part later anyway. It never like it never happened, like social networking does.
Okay, Doug.
Okay, so the show's going to be like 27.
I think there's, I have high level confidence, some kind of federal statute about putting non-mail items in a mailbox.
Put a freaking stamp on it. Address it, put a stamp on it.
As soon as you put a stamp on it, then guess what? It's mail, baby.
It might not be the best mail, but it's mail. Yeah. Yeah. Joe Biden, White House.
They're getting the same amount of respect that they're giving us. Stick a stamp on it. There you go, folks. That's how we get around this. Stick a stamp on it and stick it in the mailbox.
Address it to Fauci at the care of the White House, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, just put USPS, man. Stamp it and mail it.
There you go. All right.
Okay.
So, Eric, is that a knock on the door from the Postmaster General? Is that what's going on there? Yeah, Postmaster General wants to talk. Randy Taylor, Postmaster General, on line one for you.
I got hairy legs.
The two out here will be getting out of the car in a minute.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, we've got about 12 minutes left of the program. I can't believe how quickly time flies. You know, it was – I know Randy, both Randy and I were having a bad day today, and
Bad week, man. Bad month. It's been a really, really horrendous month. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the kind words and for the prayers and the emails, tons of them. It's been tough. Pray for my sister-in-law and my brother's kids.
Your sister-in-law works two jobs, I think, right?
Three jobs. Yeah, because my brother hadn't worked in years, and the Social Security Administration kept jerking him around, and for just to make ends meet, she's had to work three jobs, and it's tough. I got to call the funeral home later today and try and make arrangements to pay for this, because she has nothing, so we're gonna try and figure something out with them. But it's been really, really trying. It's been very difficult. And here's the bad part. It's my younger brother, 51 years old. You know, wouldn't hurt a fly, man. When, you know, one of the sweetest guys you ever met. And he's gone. So make life count. And remember, one of these days we're going to be gone, and we got to straighten this mess up before we go. We can't leave this for our kids and our grandchildren.
We can't
do it. I don't want to leave life like that. I don't want to leave life with this business undone. This business is not concluded. And we have to really take some serious. And John's got a lot of points here. Dr. Proctor was here and the same points. And Coach Dave and the minister with him, everybody's now on the same sheet of music. This has got to start at a local level. We can't go out and slay Goliath, the federal government. Okay, we need to start locally. Things that we can manage, things that we have control. We actually have control over these things locally. You can get out and campaign. You know, putting a Biden sign on your front lawn or a Trump sign is one thing. But when it's, you know, I want a Republican judge. I want a Republican sheriff. I want a Republican supervisor of elections. I want Republicans in the circuit court, clerk's office. These are things that are doable. And you can change. We can change history, literally. But let's not forget the crime that happened on November 3rd. It's not about just going forward, but we're not going to get anything done about November 3rd until we see some new faces in sitting behind the benches in courtrooms and getting sheriffs and all to investigate these crimes that happened at local levels, at county levels, because all that voting fraud, that was at county level. County level
and precinct level also.
Yeah, but you know, it was in an area that we can actually manage. Right. You can pressure people in your county. That's easy to do. When I lived in Florida, we used to pressure them, man. We could, because it's smaller. You're not going to put any pressure on Congress. They don't care. They don't care. The Senate doesn't care. You've got to do this at your local level, and then eventually it'll work up to state level. And then eventually that'll spill into federal level. But we're a long way from that.
Yeah.
That's not my piece.
Well, these congressmen represent counties. And depending on how heavily populated they are, it may be just partial, it's part of one county. Or maybe one full county, or maybe in some of these more less populated areas, maybe 8, 9, or 10 counties that they represent. And they have a staff. And the staff's job is to help the constituents and to know what's going on, the mood of the constituents. The congressman and the senator, especially the congressman, they want to know what their constituents are thinking and believing and want to do, what they don't want to do, so they can address those issues and get reelected the next time. And that's why it's so important to be active locally. In most of these 3,300 counties, there's about 20 or 30 men and women who decide what happens politically in that entire county. And it's easy to be one of those. It really is easy because people don't bother to be a Republican committeeman, a Republican committeewoman, get active at the local level with Republican Central Committee. It's real easy to be one of those 20 or 30 people that make the decisions for the rest of the county, if you choose to. And it's just a matter of choice and getting in there and getting it done. And so it's easy to do. It doesn't cost anything. It'll take one evening a month to go to the Republican Central Committee meeting and be part of the decision-making process for your county. And if you go to a congressman's office and you're just another citizen, that's one thing. If you go to your congressman's office and you're a Republican committeewoman or a committeewoman, a committeeman or committeewoman, they're going to listen. They're going to pay attention to you. They may or may not do what you want to do, but you'll definitely get an audience. And that's an important thing, is to at least get them to listen to you, right? Yeah. Right, Randy?
Right, face to face. That's the cool part local. You're right there. This isn't like trying to call Mitch McConnell's office and talk to him. This is local. They're right across the table from you. They're in the same room with you. You want a hand on their butt? Do it.
I'm a friend of mine told me how he's going to write a letter to the president. This is President Trump. And I said, well, he thought the president was actually going to see his letter. I said, first of all, that letter will physically not get within a mile of the White House ever.
Right.
There'll be a room with maybe 10 or 20 men and women opening up those letters, reading them, and putting them in stacks. And then you'll get a response from the White House, depending on which stack gets put in. And that's it. People think they're going to send an email to their representative, that email is going to have an effect. No. Person to person, is the way to go, Randy. You're absolutely right. Yep. Person to person is the way to talk to a state rep, a state senator, or a congressman, if you can get in front of the congressman. That's what has the most impact. A written letter, ink on paper, has the next most effect.
Right.
And people need to do that, need to do it now, and get active now so we can have an effect. We got elections coming up in less than 2 years, the off-year elections. And everybody in Congress gets reelected. All those representatives get reelected. And we need to have in place protocols to prevent the fraud that took place on November 3rd. Mm-hmm. That is an absolute must.
Yeah.
It has to, it's not optional. If we can't do that, guys, our republic is finished. We will no longer be a republic. We'll just be on our way to becoming a complete communist state is what we'll be on the way to.
And I know they don't
see that happen.
I know they don't read letters because I used to write Melania Trump love letters all the time. She never writes back. So.
Mine came back. I got a card from her with the lipstick sealed on the back, you know, so I don't know what your problem was. She probably saw you on the show. Yeah.
She must have thought I was you.
Wow. I've had a letter from Melania, too. No.
Yeah. Oh. She,
I'm going to have Stacey Abrams send you a letter.
Stacey, the governor of Georgia, Stacey Abrams, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Sorry, yeah. Talk about somebody that refused to accept the loss. Oh, man.
Yeah, has she conceded?
Well, she made a good living at it.
Has she conceded yet? I don't know. I don't know.
She's made a good living at refusing to lose.
You know, people, John, you make a good point, too. People underestimate her. She's been, and that's the way I think we need to win. We need to get in the trenches and fight and grind.
She may be the next Democratic nominee, by the way.
Probably.
That's the word I'm getting. Seriously, I'm getting that word. Mm-hmm. She may be the next Democratic nominee for president of the United States.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's scary.
Come on, man.
Oh, man, we're going to have to widen all the doorways at the White House. Wait, what?
No, because Chester Arthur, I believe, had that done. Or I can't remember who the guy was. the big guy with the special bathtubs. All right. Hey, folks, we're at the end of the show. Again, thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much, man. John.
You're welcome, Doug.
TheLibertyMan.com. Look, folks, go to his website. And you know what? When you're out working in the garage, or when you're out shoveling snow, or when you're out in the sun, or, you know, wherever, you're watching TV in the dark, play the most recent or even some of the archived shows of the Liberty Man. A lot of good information. And he's got all the goods.
Watching TV in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just my thing for a power outage. Anyway. Don't pick on me, man.
It just sounded so odd.
No, yeah, I know. It's an odd time. All right. But again,
well, it's been fun, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Look forward to next week.
John, it's good. John, it's good to see you, buddy.
Randy, good to see you.
Always good to see you, my friend.
And Randy, it's been good seeing you as well. We'll talk later, and thank you so much for everything, and appreciate what you do.
Right, man.
All right.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, guys.
Be good, gentlemen.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for the Hagman Report on this, the 15th day after Sweetheart's Day, right? Did you, Eric the Tech, were you nice to my daughter?
Yes, I was.
He's always nice to my daughter. He's a good son-in-law to have. What'd you get me? Never mind. Yeah, folks, you know what? Say a prayer. Say a prayer for our nation. Say a prayer. Just pray and prepare. Good night.